formal. Okay. Good morning. We are a little bit informal today. I did not know that I was speaking. Seems to happen to me sometimes. You always have to have something in your bag of tricks. Today, I didn't. Maybe we'll start a niggin. Okay. But I would like to touch on a sugya that we don't talk about enough. Actually, there's a reason I don't talk about this, which I will not disclose right now. But it's a sugya that should be discussed. It's the first Rashi in this week's parasha, which is Im b'chuko sai teilechu, right? If you walk in the ways of Hashem, right, as we know. Walk in the ways of Hashem. B'chukosai teilechu, you walk in the law of Hashem. U'b'mitzvaysai tishmeru. Says Rashi that we should be amelim b'teira. We should shvitz and herv over Torah, break our heads. Now, the question is obvious over here. Rashi is merely reflecting Chazal. But the question is why Chazal saw this over here. This is a very easy pasuk to read, right? Usually Rashi helps you with difficulties in pashup shot. In b'chukosai teilechu was literally translated what? What?
My statute to go.
Walk in my statutes.
Walk in my in my laws. In my follow dalet chelkei shulchan aruch. Right? It's not something that's difficult, and it's quite easy to understand why Hashem would not be happy. What's that? B'chukosai teilechu. U'v'mitzvah sai tishmeru. Okay, good. That's true. But still, would you say that b'chuk... And you're right. But let's go slow. You're ahead of me. First, when you're seeing the words b'chukosai teilechu, right? So I could still deal with you too. You know what I'll do? I'll say like this. There's teilechu, which is walking. That's active. Right? Active, you know what's active? Which mitzvahs do we have that are active in our lives? Mitzvahs ase. Uve mitzvosai tishmaru. Shmir is always guarding. It's los ases. The Ramban is mafurish al Torah that the word shamor is always to preserve. So I can still deal with the double lashon, even though it's excellent what you're saying. But I still have to be up here. So in b'chukosai teilechu could be one aspect, and then another aspect of mitzvahs. And then if you don't do those mitzvahs, so then we have all these terrible things, and I could really, it's palatable to me that totally undermining all of the Torah and mitzvahs would be a reason for all the tochacha. If you want to not follow the tachlis of the Bria, then there are ramifications. However, Chazal are bothered by something else over here. It could be what you're saying, and it could be something else, which is, what does it mean to walk? B'chukosai teilechu, to walk with Hashem. You know, the Goyim, lahavdil alfei havdalos, they have a concept, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they call it walking with God. I've actually seen them do this. If you get a religious Christian on your plane, when they go down the hall, like as they're going, they go, Amen, praise the Lord, Amen. They keep doing that. If you ask them what they're doing, they're walking with God. Right? It's a very nice thing to do. Right? So, but there's a problem with that, obviously. What does it mean, b'chlal, to walk with God? In b'chukosai teilechu means you are walking with Hashem. Right? Sorry for bringing that into the base medrash. But what does it mean? It just, that's how ridiculous it'll end up looking. A guy just going, Amen, all day, if he's walking with God. There's something very deep over here, which runs far deeper than keeping mitzvos, and runs far deeper than learning Torah. There's something called shvitzing in Torah. Shvitzing in Torah. We'd like to try to explain what this means. We have a chazal that's often misunderstood. The pasuk says, "Zois haTorah Adam ki yomus ba'ohel." Ein haTorah niknis el b'mishememis atzma b'Torah. The Torah is only acquired by somebody who kills himself over the Torah. That sounds pretty serious. What do you go? You go up to the top of the Empire State Building with a gemara and you jump. You know, that's very intense. I never saw anybody do that, and I also been to a lot of Gedolim, they're smiling all the time. So it doesn't seem like you're really supposed to be inflicting all that much pain on yourself. In fact, if you're inflicting pain on yourself, it's a sign that you're not getting what you're supposed to. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal once was dealing with a bacher in Shiduchim, and the bacher said, Rebbe, I found this girl. She is something. She's ready. She's talking about Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, poverty. She's ready to go. He's going on and on. And Rav Moshe Shmuel said, break the shidduch. Break the shidduch. Like, what's going on? He was all gung-ho. He says, she's talking about it as a painful process. She's ready to do it, but she's ready to endure pain. You don't want a woman like that. If she's not feeling that this is going to be a sweet existence, then bichlal, she's missing the boat. Because that means it's not integrated in her life. It's too painful. Chazal say, Ein atar niknis el b'misha meimis atzmo ala. So what's going on over here? Which one is it? If you go to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman's house, you'll see that he doesn't have a chair. I don't know why nobody gave him a chair. I guess he didn't want one. He has a bed with a stool on the back. That's how he sits all day. He sits on a bed with a stool against the back. Anybody seen it? Has anybody seen it? It's incredible. It's incredible. But Rav Aaron Leib is full of jokes. Full of jokes. When I was there at his house, I've been to his house a few times, and I definitely heard at least 3 jokes from Rav Aaron Leib. That's pretty good. Right? 3 for 3, as they say. Okay, the last time I went and I zipped in and out, I didn't hear any jokes. But I definitely heard 3 jokes out of the... on average, it means 1 per visit. That's pretty good. Right? Same thing with Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zatzal, and Yibadil Chaim Tovim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I've heard many jokes from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Maybe 5 for 5 on that. So they seem to be having a good time. But at the end of the day, this is a very intense chazal. Ein atar niknas el b'misha memes atmala. So let's try to understand. What does this mean? So let's take tennis for a second. I used to like tennis. I see the guys going. I have a taiva to go with them. It's fun, right? It's geschmack out in the air. Nice courts here. So a guy's playing tennis. When I was younger, by the way, my game got better after yeshiva. I stopped playing now, but my game got better because I used to slam. Before yeshiva started learning musar, I was always going for the slam. And then I would hit the net. But then after yeshiva, I got more control. Whoosh, send it over more. Because you're less gaiva when you play. You're less gaiva, less slamming in the net. I stopped driving the same way. I used to drive like, see, could I fit in there? Why not? Whoosh, let's see. You know, you used to... Then you're like, wow, I have a wife, I have children, like, life is important. So Musar helps for a lot of things. I'm giving a pitch for Musar. Anyway, when you're playing tennis, right, or you're playing any sport, or even a game of chess, the art of doing this is that nothing else exists other than the ball or the pieces on the board. There's a form of death. Not a form of death that you feel like you're dying, chas v'shalom. There's a form of that you're dead to the world. You are dead to the world. It's you and the ball. Think about any time you make an error when you're playing a game. It's because when you're not in your game, I'm out of my game. The pshat is, then you weren't mamus yourself on the game. Because when you're in the game, you're in that zone, right? So then it's just you and the ball or the puck. Right? Overtime. Well, overtime. Overtime. What do they call it? A nail-biting game. Okay? You guys think I don't know what's going on. My mom was at that game with my nephew. Okay. So, the first hockey game she ever went to was this week. So, I told her, she was telling me that there's a lot of mustard in this. I told her to refer last year, if you look on the website, the name of the pre-Shavuot Shmuz, which I'm not going to repeat it this year, but you can look it up, is Har Sinai versus the Rangers. That's the name on the website. So we don't have to repeat it this year. You guys can go there. But, see, I get to make a lot more jokes when I have to fill up space. Okay. But what does it mean to be dead? Dead to the world? That's it. It's just you and the ball. You and the puck. And Lahavdil, Elif Alfi Havdalis, someone who's Memis Atmo on Torah, has a certain calm. It's a sweet calm, where it's just him and the Gemara. It's him and it's Chavrusa. If you think about what takes us out of learning the most, it's what takes us out of learning. That's exactly what takes us out of learning, is what takes us out of learning. Meaning, it's not you and the ball. As much as it's you and the ball, you can get in, you can have an insight, you can immerse yourself. But as much as there's other things, so then you won't be able to acquire that Torah. you won't be able to acquire it. That's the concept of Ein HaTorah Niknas El B'Mishamemes Atma Aleha. Torah is something that you only acquire it when that is the only thing that's around. It's you and the Torah. Everything else is gone. So the concept of Amelus B'Torah is similar to that. Rav Yerucham is Marech that all other Chachmas in the world, there's no Mila to the Amelus. For example, let's say you're a math genius, mathematical genius, and you're somebody who does not need to study for more than one night, and you even retain the material. Not only can you cram for a test, but you have retention of that. There are brains like that, Rav Osai. There are people who can absorb an enormous amount of material. And they've got their Red Bull. They're up late at night, they're laying down on the couch, and they've got their math textbook. I can't relate to that. I wasn't the mathematician. I still remember those days. I always clear, is it the shot that I was bad at math, or I just didn't do my homework? I never got a real clear answer for myself. But still, I can't help my kids with the math homework because I didn't do it myself. But I'll call upon him. There's no mila to the amelus, Rav Yerucham says. If you could acquire wisdom without amelus, gevaldik, right? Those guys who just ace everything. They can go through life and just have everything. They never forget. There are certain people who are blessed like that. I once heard from Rav Radinsky. I heard of, actually it was this Pesach I heard from him. He said that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said something to him. I mamash was blown away by this. Just the concept of it. He said Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said to him that he didn't understand what it is to forget until he was 80 years old. He didn't understand the concept called forgetting. Do you know what that means? Like if you would just think about it, Rav Yaakov was an honest person. And his sefer is called Emes LeYaakov. That means the true Jacob. He was a true man. Okay, when he would take out of a notebook a piece of paper, he would cross out the thing that says 150 pages and change it to 149. Okay, when he would send a mail over to Eretz Yisrael with somebody, he would rip up a United States stamp, so not to be over on Gezel. So there's somebody you could trust that he was serious. He said he had no concept of forgetting. I have no concept of remembering, Rabbi Osai. So what does that mean? There are people who are gifted like that. There are people who are gifted like that. So Rav Yerucham says, despite that, that's just acquiring the knowledge of Torah. That's nothing to do with Amelus B'Torah. And he says, that's not what the Iker of Torah is. The Iker of Torah is Amelus B'Torah, is working in Torah. Why? Says Rav Yerucham, the pshat is similar to this. The whole idea, why is someone memes atma l'Torah? Why is somebody able to make it? We know why someone's able to take it and say it's just me and the puck or me and the ball. We know why they're able to do that, right? Because their life is ball. At least to whatever level life is ball is how much that could be a zone in for them, right? It's a vise on how much your life is that thing. How much passion you put into it. It says Amelus is not just acquiring it, it's becoming the Torah. It's becoming it. The reason you have to be Amel B'Torah is to become the Torah. And you would even go out of your way for tirchas. Out of your way for tirchas. There's a tshuva of a Talmud of the Trumas HaDeshen where they came out with this chair that you could swivel around and get Sfarim easier. So they showed it to the Trumas HaDeshen and he didn't want it because he said it lacks Amelus B'Torah. What? Just swivel around? It's not about even being involved in the learning. I was by Rav Moshe Shapiro recently. And we gave him a stack of papers was there with a machaber for a sefer to try to get a haskama. And we asked him, you know, would the Rav want it bound? You know, he's going to go home like this. It looked a little funny, but that's what had with us. And he said, it's a melus b'torah for me to carry this and deal with all these papers. Why? If you look at a melus as working hard to just understand something, then it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It doesn't make sense not to have a swivel chair and to have a stack of papers. But if it's a way of showing how much you care about something, then it is. Yeah, then investing more time and effort shows that you're more in it. You enjoy every type of tircha. When you love someone, you like the tirchas. You actually like the tirchas. You don't want it to go easy. That's how it works. I hope people here have loved somebody in their life. But if you haven't, this is what how it works. You actually enjoy that there's something to do over here. If it's too easy, you don't. Somebody I know, Rav Shimon Galai, he's a big Rav in Bnei Brak. He said that when he had a car accident, he was in the hospital in Bnei Brak, and Rav Aaron Leib insisted on walking up the stairs and not taking the elevator because of chavivas. Chavivas is a mitzvah. That's a little, what are you doing? The mitzvah only starts when you get to the room. But there's an idea to want to be involved in it, not for just to do the mitzvah bigur cholim, but to be immersed, to place yourself inside. And amelus means that you're walking with Hashem. Im b'chukosai teilechu means that I am with Hashem. I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a relationship with Torah, so then even the Torah feels like it has a kesher with you. It goes, Ad kedei kach, Rav Yerucham brings a Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Sadi Tes, Nefesh Amel Amlalo. Hu Amel B'makom Zeh. You work in Torah in this area. V'toraso Ameloso B'makom Acher. And the Torah will work for you in another area. Huh? What does that mean? Says Rashi. Amazing Rashi. Omelos lo shemachzeres alav. Torah will come back to you. U'mevakeshes meitz akona. Torah will ask Hashem. Right? You ever hear that song, Torah hischanani b'vakasha? You like talk to Torah and you ask it to help you out. Torah is actually a being, right? The Chafetz Chaim brings a medrash about a woman named Chagiga, right, who came and took care of somebody who learned her for all the years. The Torah comes and is mevakeshes from Meis Kona Limser Lo Tame Torah to reveal to this person Torah. The Kolkach Lama Mimnesha Akav Shekachav Piu Al Divrei Torah, because he subjugated himself to that Amelus B'Torah. So Rav Yerucham says, it doesn't say you get that sugya, you crack this sugya. It says when you're working here, you get another sugya. You get a davar acher. That's what the Gemara says. It says that doesn't make sense. Usually, right, when somebody's digging for gold, or they're mining, so they're going in this area, they're not going to get gold or diamonds from another minery. It just doesn't happen. Right? That's not how it works, because you're digging over here. But over here, the pshat is no. That's not why you're digging. You're not just digging for the acquisition of knowledge to know Torah. You're digging for the relationship. So once you establish that relationship, the Torah can say to you, by the way, I want to tell you something else that you weren't working on. Because you've established a dedication to me. You've been mamus. Your eye is on the ball. You're showing that you care about me. All relationships are like that, where you have the person on your mind. A healthy relationship with a wife is one where you will not go bowling at night without calling your wife. That's not a good idea, right? I have to feel these things sometimes. Oh, they come to me, Rebbe, I went bowling without telling... Oh, no, you did that again? You don't do that. You don't go bowling without telling your wife, right? That's a no-no. That'll take weeks to fix, right? And the truth is, a lot of times when the guys go out to play sports, or this or that, why does the wife get upset? Because she doesn't feel she was involved in the process. She feels like there was a part of your day that you were just, she was a blank. She wants that somewhere in your head, you're always thinking of her. Which the truth is, there are things like that in our lives. I have an allergy to poppy seeds. It's not such a serious thing to be allergic to. But there are people who are allergic to peanut butter, right? They always have to have that somewhere in them. Peanuts are around. Poppy seeds are not so bad. I mean, we had them for Shalosh Shuddos the other week, but it's pretty clear. One time I made the toast over chocolate. It was dark, and I was in a park, and somebody gave me... why someone would buy a poppy seed cake is a tzarchi and gadol. But Mistama, they also thought it was chocolate. And that was one thing. It was right before Slichus. I was 18 years old. I could barely... It was. But aside from that, it doesn't have to be on my mind. But other allergies, there are so many things that are serious. Anything that's serious in your life is always there. A relationship is always there. So that's the Ben Torah. He's established a relationship with the Torah, and then the Torah will dafka reveal itself to you in areas that you would not have imagined. Now the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, after telling us how to sleep 8 hours a night and how to work a good amount of the day, He then gets down to business in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, where he says that there's something called Keser Torah. There's the crown of Torah. And we've spoken about this a little bit, but we now in this context like to explain what this is, right? We've been working with a crown, right? The crown is always where there's more than meets the eye here, right? There's a person and he stops over here. A crown shows there's more than meets the eye. He's upwards. There's a difference between someone who learns Torah and someone who is Torah. The person who has Keser Torah is wearing the crown of Torah. He embodies Torah. And says the Rambam over here, in the third parak of Talmud Torah, when he introduces Keser Torah, he says beautiful things. First of all, he says that a mamzer, who's a Talmud Chacham from Chazal, obviously, is bigger than a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. He's setting up the dargas in Klal Yisrael. Someone who has the Keser Torah is way above Keser Kahuna. But then he says, how do you do this? He says, Misha Naso Libo in Perek Gimel Halacha Vav. Misha Naso Libo. Naso Libo is always a feeling of inspiration. Someone who wants to go for the gold. He doesn't say you're chayiv. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the beginning, he tells you what you're chayiv to do, me'ikar adin. Here he says, Misha Naso Libo, whoever is inspired to do this. You know where else we have this lashon? When we talked about Rabbi Akiva. Anyone remember a Rashi at the end of Sota that we mentioned in the Shmuz? Nasan Libo Lidrosh Kol Kutz V'Kutz. Rabbi Akiva was inspired to darshan the crowns of the letters. This is where no man had gone before. You only can do that through inspiration. Nobody in their right minds would think you have to do such a thing. Rabbi Akiva was inspired to do that because it was above and beyond the call of duty. So somebody who is inspired to do this, to be in it, to win it, he doesn't say to learn Torah. He already described that in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis of Hilchos Talmud Torah. You can see it over there. But he wants to have the Keser Torah. Lo yasiach daito lidvar macherim. He can't lose focus on the ball. Lahavdil alfalfei avdolos. He can't be distracted. Velo yasim alibo shiikna torim osher v'kavod ke'echan. And he can't have in mind that he wants the best of both worlds. He wants to be the guy on the yacht with his Gemara and his, you know, martini, and life is good. He can't have that. If he wants Keser Torah, he could be a Talmud Chacham. It's possible, maybe. But he can't be Kisrei Shel Torah. It's impossible. Kachu Darcho Shel Torah. Pas b'melech teichel, eating bread with salt. Val aretz tishan, sleeping on the floor. V'chai tzar tichya, and living a life of tzar. U'b'torah tia amel. The Rambam's meduyik, amelus b'torah is Kisrei Shel Torah. Perhaps to be Mekayim the mitzvah, not perhaps, to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we'll read a Rambam correctly. The Rambam doesn't talk about being Amel in Torah. You can go to Daf Yomi, and if you actually, the Stipler says in Shabbos that the definition of Bittul Torah is misusing available time. So Al Pi Halacha, again, I'm not a postdoc, but this would be the setup according to the Stipler. If you need to work from 9 to 5, if you need to, okay, which is a capital need to, you know, that's a very hard thing to define, but if you need to, the Stipler says there's no such thing as Bittul Torah during that time. That's essential for your work. But if you have 3 hours and then you need to spend time with your kids, and you need to, with a capital need to, and your wife, and you need sleep and food, the Stipler says that none of those are areas where you can be over on an Isser called Bittul Torah, because you haven't wasted time. You haven't wasted time. Available time is where there's Bittul Torah. When you have time that's available, you have good, healthy chunks of time, and a person should have a lot of them in their lives. And people who don't have enough available time have to wonder why. Have to wonder why. But that's where the Isser of Bittul Torah is. So a person in theory could learn, let's say he learns 3 hours a day, and he's learning with a tape, he just sit with a recording, and he sits and he listens to it, and maybe even takes notes. He's learning with absolutely no amelus. He was Mekayim, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, absolutely. Maybe even verbalizes it along to be Mekayim, that he should be medaber, he should speak out his learning. But amelus b'torah, b'torah tia amel, is this. It's the guy who's invested in it. Velo alecha amlacha ligmar. Now, obviously, let's not get overboard over here. Let's not say this is only the superhero Talmud Chacham, because then, if b'chukosai teilechu, she'lotu amelim b'torah, we'd all be like, oh, we're not the guy of the Rambam. No, there's every person has a level that they have to be invested. As much as they're invested in the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a statement of our relationship. Perhaps more than just our Kiyum Mitzvahs. The Kiyum Mitzvahs are what we do, but what's in our heart is what we invest in. Shetiu Amelim B'Torah. Now over here it says you should live a life of pain. So when Rav Ruderman came to Ner Yisrael, Zatzal, and at the opening of Ner Yisrael, he said, it doesn't mean in the Rambam that you have to do this. It means you have to be willing to do this because you're so dedicated. It doesn't mean that a person can't have Torah V'Gdula B'Makom Echad, but it means you have to be dedicated. It's all an issue of dedication. And the message of Im B'chuko Sai Teilechu is how much are we on the team? How much do we have other interests in life? And that's very scary. Because the pshat is, Hashem put us here for one purpose, to be in our game. And then Hashem says, wait, they're not in their game. I don't understand what's going on over here. I gave them a whole world to be focused, and they're not focused. Then Hashem says, I can't really justify them being here. Because Kol Zman that they're focused on this 120 years they're here, so then my whole plan with them makes sense. I put them here to be focused, and they are focused. But to just do mitzvahs on the side, you know, get up for shachris, and go to daven 3 times a day, v'chule, and say brachas and birchas hamazon, that doesn't show enough dedication that it justifies our existence. Amelus b'Torah shows that we realize that we're here to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be shayach to Borei Olam. And the opposite, if a person's not amel, so then his interests are not clear. The Rambam then writes in Shemitah V'Yovel, which is a very famous Rambam, but we don't always have time or the opportunity to go over famous things here. I'm sorry, I probably should, but I guess now's the time. The Rambam says, and you have to know this Rambam to be Jewish, even though I haven't really quoted it here. But you have to know it. Sometimes I heard things so many times that I assume everybody's heard it, it's a mistake. Because you guys have been here stuck with me, so if I didn't tell you, who told it to you? Maybe the Rosh Hashiva told you, I don't know, you'll tell me. Okay, the Rambam at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, says that why was Levi Zeicha to Anakla in Eretz Yisrael, Lo Zacha, not Zeicha to Anakla in Eretz Yisrael, Bizasim Achiv? Because they were Huvdo Lavadis Hashem, they were set aside as Kadosh to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sharsov, Lahoris Drachov, to serve in the base of Mikdash and to teach Torah. Levi was designated to be out of business affairs. They're not involved in war. They're soldiers of Hashem. Beautiful. That's Sheva Levi. Says the Rambam the following amazing thing. At the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. V'lo Shevet Levi Bilvad. Not just Shevet Levi. Ela kol ish v'ish mikol boy oilam. Anyone in the world. Asher nadva rucho. Again, the word nadva rucho is also inspiration. Nadiva slave. Right? Avraham was a nadiv ba'am. Anyone learning Chagiga? Chagiga, guys, did you get to that drasha, Nediv Lev? Yeah? Okay, I just want to make sure. So, Nedivus, right? Because Avraham basically was in a family of Avodah Zarah. And the Svarim HaKadoshim say he went out of his way to find Hashem. He went out of the status quo. That's always the lashon. Nedivus is when you go out of your way. Nodvarucho, vehevinu mado, lehibado, lamad of Hashem. He sees the value in separating himself from to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'sharsav l'avdo l'adeya as Hashem, v'holach yashar, and he goes straight, u'porak me'al tzavaro ol ha'cheshbonos harabim, and he gets rid of all the cheshbonos harabim that people have. What's the Rambam referring to? The Rambam's referring to a pasuk over here. Elokim asas adam yashar. Man was created straight. V'heim bikshu cheshbonos rabim. And they made life complicated. That was actually said about none other than Adam HaRishon when he ate from the Eitz Hadas. The first bad idea that came from mankind was a trick. Hey, why don't I try that way? Why should I do this way? Why should I go straight? I could go left and right and this way. Oh, it got lost. Right? That was the first time. Says the Rambam, this guy removes the Cheshbonos Rabbim. He's going Yoshar. It's not by coincidence, the Rambam says, that the Rambam says that he's going Halach Yoshar. Asher Bikshu B'nai Adam HaRezin is Kaddish Kodesh Kadashim. He becomes Kaddish. Hashem's going to give him siyata d'shmaya to get whatever he needs. Says the Rambam over here, and Rav Matis Yehuda Solomon says, you better be careful with this Rambam. But if you're zoche and you're not misspending your money and doing all sorts of tricks to have your cake and eat it too, then you'll be zoche that money will come to you. Says Rav Matis Yehuda, what's the problem? A lot of people, they want to have everything. They want to have a bar mitzvah as nice as the biggest balabas in Lawrence, and they want to be from the Kisra Shel Torah. That's a problem. Says Rav Dan Segel once said in Avad, he said when he was bar mitzvahed, all they got was a tapuz. The stipler told them, everybody, all the kids came to the house, and the stipler said, this is how you should do the bar mitzvah. Each guy got an orange. That would go over well today, right? Today, each person would have their own sushi bar, right? So, everyone got a tapuz. Said Rav Dan Segel, he says, you know what destroyed the world of Torah? This was before the big, I think he said this before the internet was getting too crazy, but you know what he said? Mortgages. What? Mortgages? He said credit. He says, the whole idea of living on credit, leasing, right? I can have the Lexus. I can have this. I can live above my standard of living. He says, the whole concept of mashkantas, of these things, is allowing people to live outside their standards. He says it's destroying people. And Rav Matis Yehuda Solomon says a person could be from Shevet Levi over here, but their dedication has to be full. If we find in areas of their life that they're not fully dedicated, then they can't have a taina on Hashem when money doesn't drop from Shemayim. Kemo shezicha l'kohanim v'levim. Hare David Omer Hashem menas chalki v'kosi t'mecharoli. However, I want to add another important point, which we have to say over here. Today we don't go into Kailel and we don't learn Torah all day just to be from Shevet Levi. That's a very high madrega, and I don't think I could ever say of myself that that's why we went to Kailel. Today the world is very dangerous. The world is very dangerous, and the stipler already says this. It's written up in Rav Brevda's Sefer Amla Shel Torah, which was commissioned by the Gedolei Yisrael to write why we learn today. A thinking person has to wonder, why are we learning so much today? I mean, there are Mishnayos that say, Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz, shigi shnayim shneim mishkachas avon, right? Torah with working. There's a major problem today, which is a new problem. And that is that the workplace is a dangerous place. As I once heard from Rav Noach Orlowark, he says, it used to be Jack was running after Jill, and now Jill is chasing after Jack. He says, people are going to the workplace and being attacked by Maisa Averis. Not looking for Maisa Averis, they're being attacked. The world today is one that's not conducive to keeping basic Yiddishkeit. It's not about the Rambam's Shevet Levi. It's Pasha defense for being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. When a person is going out into the world today, they run the risk of not saying Kriya Shema. So a person has to remember there are different sugyas. A lot of times we get stuck. We think of this like there's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and there's Yishmael. That's not our sugya today. Our sugya today is to struggle to stay alive. And the Dalet Amos of Halacha and the Kaislei Beis Medrash are something that a person always has to attach himself to. I can't tell you each person how or what, but if a person's not attached to a yeshiva or a Beis Medrash their whole life, then they're in danger today. They're in danger. Because it's different. It's a different sugya. So there are a few sugyas over here. But the main sugya that we're giving over is the dedication. We should all be zeicha, to be in b'chuko sai tilechu, to be in it, to win it, and to be dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.